and that's the Israel Congregation in conjunction with Start Your Day the Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Kaf Dalet, Kislev, 25th December, Reina Rav, Rav Shlomo, Yitzchok, Bixler Spanner, and Shlita, to book him through the ages. I'd like to thank Hen Hadass for hosting and providing refreshments for today.
So, good morning to everyone. First of all, I would like to welcome everyone who came to join us this wonderful Yom Limud, Baruch Hashem. We've been doing this for many years now, where people, as they're off of work, they take their time to spend with learning and Yom Limud. And as well, I would like to bring out the Nekuda that there's no better way of spending such a day than with learning Torah. Today, the topic is going to be about dibukim throughout the ages. The Indian of dibukim, a dibuk means a possessed soul, person is possessed with a different soul. And many people have asked me, what's the shaykhaz between dibukim and the 25th of December? So the simple answer is, who says it has to have a shaykhaz? It's an interesting topic, and we want people to come. Yeah, we know we have donuts, we have danishes, but, you know, an interesting shir adds. But the emes is, there is a very strong connection between the Indian of Dibukim and the Indian of the 25th of September, of December. And we'll start off with the Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, where the Gemara speaks about three episodes that happened, Benergeya, an insight in the Olam HaEmes. So the Gemara is talking there about the Churban, which happened through Titus HaRosha, the second Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that Titus HaRosha, the story with the small little fly that was pecking away in his brain, and by the time he died, it was almost the size of a bird, and he gave instructions that when he dies, they should burn him and spread his ashes on the seven seas. And his lashon was the loy lishkechei elahodi yehidoi. Chas v'shalom, that, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam shouldn't be able to find him to put him through the din. So the Gemara says that Unculus was a nephew of a certain Unculus. He was a nephew of Titus. And he was contemplating whether he should become a Yid or not. Aske letitus benegide. He did some kind of a thing with Kishuv, and he brought down the neshama of Titus. And he asked him, Man choshev ha'u alma, who is the one who is important, who is prominent in the next world? Amalei Yisrael. So he asked him, Mahi Lidbukibu, should I join them? Should I become a Yid? So Titus said, you won't be able to be Mekayim all their mitzvahs. In other words, it's a bit too big of a challenge. So he says, I'll give you a better idea. He says, go and do tzores to Klal Yisrael. And we find Kalameta Li Yisrael Nasarosh. That was his advice. There's a fascinating shtickel from Reb Eliel Lapian, or I think maybe Rav Dessler, who says that L'chayre, we would think that in Olam HaEmes, people realize the truth. But it seems here that he was still continuing in his old ways. So he says that the Olam HaEmes is not a world where you change. In other words, whatever you were in this world, you continue doing in the next world. So that's why, even though he saw the truth, but he was still pushing his old agenda. So then he asked him, Dina de Haigavru Bamai, what is your judgment? What are they doing with you in the Olam HaEmes? So he says, exactly what I said, that they should spread my ashes over the seven seas. Every single day, the Ribbono Shel Olam gathers the ashes and judges those ashes again and again and again. Then the Gemara says, Ozel Askei LeBilam. He went and he brought down Bilam ben Agida with the same type of kishuv. He brought down Bilam and he asked him the same thing. Man choshev ha'u alma, who is important, who is prominent as Yisrael. Ma'ilit bukebehu, should I join them? He said, lo sidra shloimim b'tevosim kalayomim. In other words, don't touch them. That was Bilam's answer. So again, he asked him, what is your judgment? So he said, he's being judged b'shichva zera resachas. Every single day, that's what they judge him with. Ozel aske b'negida l'poishe Yisrael. Now the Gemara is very discreet. What the Gemara means here, and as we know, the censorship wouldn't allow this to pass. But in a very covered up way, the Gemara says he brought down the Poishe Yisrael. Who's Poishe Yisrael? Oiso Ha'ish. He brought him down, and he asked him again. Man Choshevayu Alma, Amalei Yisrael. Mai Lat Bukabu. Should I join them? He said. In other words, he was a bit more complimentary about joining Klal Yisrael. In other words, don't shepherd them because the Ribbon Shalom watches over us and we are like the apple of his eye. What is your judgment? The Omamar. Now, the Mefarshim explain, the Maral is Marech in this Inyan, the Inyan of Tzoyer Resachas, that is the lowest level of where a person can reach. In other words, we know that there's a Sha'ol Tachtis. The lowest level in Sha'ol Tachtis is Nidin B'Tzoyer Resachas. And it also means that such a person has no chance. In other words, this is Lediro in Oilom, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, that their judgment is such that in this world they reached such a low level, they literally threw everything away and they have no chance of ever coming back. Kolba Elo Yeshuv, and this is the lowest level that a person can reach. Now, we know that the Oysa Ha'ish was over all the averes of the Torah. All Taryag mitzvahs, including the Sholosh Chamurois. We've spoken about it many years ago. We had a whole shir on it. But the question is, if a person does even the harshest averes, a person can do tshuva. Ein lecha davar she'omid b'fnei ha'tshuva. What was the nekuda of the Oysa Ha'ish that he fell so low that he is in the level of Tzoyer Resachas, which means he has no chance, he's doomed forever. He has no chance of coming back. What is it? What's the nekuda? So the Gemara says he was a loyeg al divrei chachomim, which means he was made choizik, he wasn't machshiv, and that is what he indoctrined into his talmidim, the inyan of being loyeg al divrei chachomim. As we know, in the time of Chazal, there were different groups, there were the Tzedoikim, there were the Isim. He was part of those people, and as we learn in the Mishnayos in Yadayim, the Shakla Vetaria between the Perushim and the Tzedoikim, he was one of those Chevra, and that's what he put into his Talmidim, and his Nekuda was Loyeg al Divrei Chachom. Now, as scary as it may sound, each and every one of us has to make an introspection whether we're not guilty in a certain way on the Indian of Loyeg al Divrei Chachomim. Now, Avada, we're all going to say, we're not talking about those Chachomim in the Chachmaya Mishnah. We're not going to talk, Avada, we're not Loyeg on them. We're just Loyeg on the Yiftach Bedoiroi Kishmul Bedoiroi. Now, one person once said, I never am Loyeg al Divrei Chachomim because before I do anything, I make him Os Chachom. And then I'm loyeg on him. In other words, I'm never loyeg al divrei chacham. Who says he's a chacham, right? What are his credentials? Who is he bechlal? He's a nobody. And then I can say what I want. But Rabbi said nothing changed. In other words, the people that have that attitude would have the exact same attitude against the chachmei Mishnah, tanoim, amiroim, because it's the same. In other words, the faces change, but the attitude is the same. So, as I said, we all have to ask that question to ourselves, on which level, and if on any level, we're also guilty of this inyan of loyeg divrei chachomim. But avada, no one is, anyone that's sitting in this room, anyone that comes to shul, anyone that davens, is not a loyeg divrei chachomim on such a level that they throw everything away. But this was the main yesoid, the main nekuda of Oysa Ha'ish, was he was a malik al divrei chachomim, and he crossed lines that should never be crossed, and that is why he is where he is. Now, one of the reasons of why people need chizuk in the Indian of Emunas Chachamim is because we live in a world that what we see, what we feel, what we can touch is not necessarily connected to the things that we hear. In other words, this is something that the Kadmoinim speak about at length. Why is it that you don't find anything in the Torah itself about Olam Haba? Look in the whole Torah, you're not going to see anything beferish about the Indian of Olam Haba. Now, we all know that the whole tachlis of Olam Hazeh is the Olam Haba. As the Mishnah says, Ha'olam Hazeh is a frozder between Olam Haba. Haskan Atzcha befrozder, k'deh shetekonas litraklin. And that is what essentially we live for. In other words, you ask anyone, why do we do what we do? It's because we know that there's an Olam Haba. In other words, it's not, this world is not the be-all and the end-all. It's all a tachlis to reach something else. And for that, we need to do things that are not always geschmack and not always what we would like to do. But this is what we need to do. And there are many people who will give you many different arguments. I once had such an argument with someone that he knew the score. He went to yeshiva, he knew everything. But, you know, he decided to live a different lifestyle. So he was telling me and he said, how can you convince me to live a life now for the future? He said, imagine if you would come to a businessman and you would tell him, I would like you to give me £1 million. Okay, you have 100 million, 200 million. So I'm asking you, give me £1 million and you'll invest it in an investment that I cannot tell you exactly what it is. I can't tell you what the dividends and what the outcome will be. I can just tell you it's something that you can't even imagine. It's something that's beyond anyone's imagination. We can all know and how successful such an endeavor will be, right? No one is going to invest in something that you can't tell me what, you can't tell me how, you can't tell me when. What kind of a business deal is that? So he says, why isn't the same with Torah mitzvahs, right? Why are we doing Torah mitzvahs? Because there's a Yen Avelt and there's Olam Haba and there's Gehenim and there's Gan Eden and all these different things. What is Gan Eden? Ayin Lora Asa. This is something that you can't even imagine. It's something that's beyond anyone's explanation. But believe me, take my word for it. So what I told him was that, yes, if someone comes as the first guy to introduce that, then you're right. It's not never going to fly. But if we have Ovois, and our Ovois had Ovois, and we had Rebbeim, and we're talking about thousands of years of living such a thing, Ein Odom Moris Shekel Abonov. We believe that if this was good for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's good for us, and we just take it for face value, and that's how we live our life. And that, some of Farshim explain, why by Avraham Avinu, the Torah says, Vahem and Vashem, Vayachshevel Loi Tzedokah. Why Loi Tzedokah? Why not everyone? The Torah is because if we're Mam and Vashem, we have a Messiah, we something that we were Mekabel, and we don't think that all these generations of clever people, people that were Mamash, you know, from the top, that they would stam live a lie. So we accept that this is the way it is, and we just have to believe it. But Avraham Avinu was the first, Echad Hoy Avraham, and he is the one Ham in Bashem. Vayachshevel Loi Tzedakah. For him it was a Tzedakah because he had no one to follow, and he is the one who came to this realization, as Chazal tells us, the Rambam explains, that, you know, he started thinking and he realized that Yesh Manig Labira, that you can't have a world that's running just on its own. There must be a creator, there must be someone in charge. But again, part of the Nesoyin, so the question is, if the Olam Haba is such an important aspect and such an important point, why doesn't the Torah say anything about it? So the answer is, because if the Torah would have spoken about it and it would be very clear, then we would have no Nesoyin. It would be very clear, there would be no two ways about it, what we need to do in this world. Because all these things are hidden and all these things are not clear and it's more a emunah than a yediyah. In other words, we can't say be yediyah that we know. We can say that we believe because that's what we were makabel. That is what makes the challenge so much more that You know, here you have a world that offers so many things that we would like to do, but we can't do it because we believe in the next world. And that world doesn't allow us to do certain things that we would like to do. And by accepting it and living that way, that is how we earn our brownie points. That is what the Zohar speaks about, the Nahama de Chasufa, that the reason why the Neshama, which was very happy where it was, right? The question is, why do we have to go through this whole process if the reason, the purpose is to go right back? Tachas Kisei HaKovod, we were there in the first place. To begin with, what's the whole point of going through this whole thing? The Teretz is because that's called Nahama de Chasufa. It's bread of shame. You haven't earned it. But when a guf comes down and the neshama is there and it goes through what it goes through and it endures all the different nesyonos and it comes out with flying colors, that is how we earn our keep in the next world. So be'etzem, this is all part of the nesyon that we do not have the ability to see what goes on in the next world. And we have to believe it, and we believe it, and that is what keeps us going. However, from time to time, throughout the generations, there were windows that were opened where people were able to take a glimpse at what goes on in the next world, and people were very inspired by it. Now, the irony of it is that in order to be inspired, you had to want to believe. We will see as much time as we have to go through some of the stories, but if someone didn't want to believe, and you had many different people throughout the generations, they were able to see, two people were able to see the exact same thing. One person came out a very strong Ma'am in Bashem, and the other person maybe came out even a bigger Apikoros. So when it comes to these things, you still need to want to be able to see and believe what you're seeing. And especially when it comes to these type of things, today, we have names for all kinds of illnesses and mental situations. Let's take the word schizophrenia, right? A person that's schizophrenic. What does it mean? He hears voices. And what's a dibbuk? You hear voices. So if you want to take it from a scientific point, you can start saying, hey, this is schizophrenia. What's the big deal? Give him this and this medication, and it's going to go away. And there were stories of Gedolei Yisrael who, when they came to them with such a type of a situation, because the biggest challenge always was, is this person stama meshugana, and they belong in a meshugoyim hoiz, or is there taka something more to it? So there is a story about a certain, this happened in the last 50, 60 years, where there was someone in Eretz Yisrael that, you know, had issues, and they went to different gedolim, and, they said this and that, and, oh, fine, we got rid of it, she's fine. And then she started behaving again in the same pattern. So they went to a certain godel, and he said, from what I understand, she needs a good psychiatrist. And, you know, that's what's going to heal her. So again, you know, this is a very fine line of what exactly it is. And as we will see, the Inyan of Dibukim is something that's recorded through in the whole spectrum of Yiddishkeit. You have it by Sfardim, you have it by Ashkenazim, you have it by Gedolei Ashkenaz, that had no shaykhs, were, you know, the Gedolei Ashkenaz that had no shaykhs to Hasidus, or to, then you had by Hasidim, and then you had by the Litvishe Gedolim. Literally, across the board, there are stories about Dibukim. Now, the common denominator is almost the same, that you have someone that seems to have something in them that's not them. Many times, you had people that all of a sudden started talking a language that they never learned. So obviously it's not them. You had people that started saying Torah, that's not them. So, you know, if you don't put something in, you can't take it out, right? In a tape, in a CD, you can, if you turn it on, you can only hear what was put in. If it wasn't recorded, then you can't hear it. All of a sudden you have a girl, a 12-year-old girl, starting to say Torah that she has no shaykhus to. And there is, however, a story that they bring down from the Rambam, where the Rambam says that they came to the Rambam with someone that, you know, seemed to be possessed, and they were saying things that l'chayre had no shaykhus to them, and the Rambam said, no, you could, there are certain illnesses that you can remember things that you heard that never registered, and now all of a sudden you can say those things. So again, from a medical point of view, it's very hard to be able to say what it is and how it is. But nevertheless, you had Gedolei Yisrael, many Gedolei Yisrael, who there are records about certain stories that were recorded as a dibuk. So let's start with a famous story that many of us may have heard of, and that is the famous dibuk in the times of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, in the times of the Chofetz Chaim, there are a few stories that are recorded, but I am going to refer to the story which may hit home here in England, because this is something that was acknowledged by Reb Leib Gurwitz, the Shivin Gateshead, who was a Talmud of Reb Elchanan. And Reb Elchanan Wasserman would say over the story every single year on Purim, which is the yard site of when that story happened. And he felt that this is going to be a tikkun for that neshama that needed a tikkun. And there are people who remember Reb Leib. So we're talking about something that's relatively in our generation, in our time, contemporary, and it's not some episode story that we heard. So the story with the Chofetz Chaim, with that particular one, there's other stories that they bring down, but those are not recorded. There's no proof. But here we're talking about something that was acknowledged and approved by Gedolim that we had the schus of knowing, and so on and so forth. So basically, the story was that in the winter of 1909, there was a certain individual who lived in a certain town. I mean, all the details are here, but it's not important, all the little details. And it all started off with, he had a barn with animals, and one of his horses died. And we can imagine the panic that, you know, happened in the family, you know, one of their horses. And they all, you know, the family got all busy. And his 12-year-old daughter or 14-year-old daughter, who was involved in helping with the family, she was busy there with this horse, and she got all verschwitzt. She came home and she drank some cold water. And as soon as she had that glass of water, she became ill. And the illness was in many different, in other words, she had physical cramps and physical ailments, but also she was talking certain things, and there were certain things coming out of her which wasn't her. They looked into her mouth when she was saying it, and her tongue wasn't moving. In other words, it seemed like something from within her is talking, but it's not her talking. So, Lemaisa, they came to the Chofetz Chaim, and when this dibuk was saying that this is a 12-year-old girl, the neshama of a 12-year-old girl, that, you know, unfortunately she was was baptized, and she did many averes, and then when she died at 17, she got a din, a oynish, for 15 years, and lemaisa, what happened was that she ended up going into a certain stone that was in that barn, and as soon as the horse stepped on that stone, the horse died, and as soon as the girl drank the water, so from there she went to the water, as soon as she drank the water, this is what happened. So he brings there a conversation that they had with this ruach, and they asked him, I understand that you're a choyte, but why is this daughter of his, what did she do? So she said, she's also a choyte. Why? Because she didn't make a brocha. She drank from the water and she did not make a brocha. So that's why she had a right to go into her. Anyway, so the story went on and on. This was Tevis, and it only ended in Adar. So basically, they came to the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim, and they asked him, her about the Chofetz, they know about the Chofetz Chaim. They said, yes, the Chofetz Chaim is considered like a Tana, a small Tana in Shamayim. And they spoke about other Gedolim there as well. This is not brought down here, but there was a very choshev person that lived in Monsi. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Chaim Kaplan. He was a mashgiach in Beis Medrash Elyon, many years ago. And my father learned there. My father knew him very well. And he was present also by this whole story, because in the end, the Chofetz Chaim negotiated. They negotiated with this dibuk. If she says that the Chofetz Chaim is considered like a Tana, will she listen to him if he tells her to go out? And she said, yes. When is she going to go out? She said she can go out tonight. And where is she going to go out from? And what's the deal? So she said, the deal is that you have to say Kaddish for that neshama for a week. And it has to be, you have to learn Mishnayos. And that's not what happened. The Chofetz Chaim went to 10 of the Koilingalite that were learning Koil Kotshim in Radin, and they said Kaddish, they learned Mishnayos, and she went back to normal. That is more or less the story. There's many more details, but the point of the story is that we have a type of a pattern that every story that you read about that happened throughout the ages has the same type of situation. You have the possessor and the possessed, and then there's a conversation between the people asking what's going on, why it happened, and so on. And it's always the same type of story. But there are a few interesting details, and I'm going to mention a few of the stories that they bring. So there's a story that happened in the 1500s by one of the Sfardish Gedolim. And what happened was that someone who was totally normal, and all of a sudden something happened. So they went to different doctors, and the doctors couldn't do anything. So they came to this Mekubel. His name was Remotcha Sasson, and he basically started engaging with this Ruach, and the Ruach said that what happened was that they were Mechal Shabbos, and the Rav tried to stop them from being Mechal Shabbos, and the Rav told them that you should know that they were smoking on Shabbos, and they said, if you smoke on Shabbos, the Onshim, and so on and so forth. And for 4 weeks, they stopped smoking. And then, after 4 weeks, they fell in with a group of bad friends, and they went right back to their old ways. And the Nakuda was that, after they died, they had all these Malachi Chabalot chasing them. And the question that was asked, and this is the point that I want to make, is that they asked the Ruach, how could you say that you're being pursued all the time and you have no menucha? Don't we know that on Shabbos, even the Gehenim rests, right? They get a ceasefire. And things get calm for Shabbos. And that's why we say the Vehu Rachum with the Wimarech, and we try to give them a reprieve a bit longer. And here you're saying that you have no menucha at all. So he said, this inyan that on Shabbos there's menucha is only for people that kept Shabbos. If someone didn't keep Shabbos in this world, they don't have menucha even in the next world, even on Shabbos. But because he had 4 weeks in his life that he kept Shabbos, they allow him, they give him a few minutes in the beginning of Shabbos where he doesn't have a din. And his friends that were with him, who dragged him down, they're jealous of him because they don't even have those few minutes. So we see again, this is a fascinating window, a fascinating insight in what goes on in the Olam HaEmes, that, everything that a person does is recorded and remembered, and it's forever. In other words, it's not, you did an Avera once. You did an Avera once, but it's consequences that you have to pay for, for a very long time. So that was, and again, the same idea, there's negotiations. They don't want to go out because as soon as they come out, they're pursued again, and there's all kinds of harsh judgments and punishments. But if the promise is that they're going to make a tikkun, then they come out and life goes back to normal. There's another story. So we saw about the Chofetz Chaim, which we can almost say it's almost in our time. Then we saw this story by the Sfardish Gedolim. But then there's the same type of story in the times of... this was a story where the first Baba Vareva, in the early 1900s, where, again, the same type of story. There was a Ruach saying things. This Ruach was quoting verbatim entire sections of the Tevua Shor, which is Hilcha Shechita. And basically, when there's a whole story how the Baba Vareva was talking to this Ruach, and he said that he was a Shoichet in the city of Kasho, which is Košice in Slovakia, in present-day Slovakia. And he was Machal Nevelis of Treifus, and he was removed from his post. And after he died, you know, this is what happened. And in order for him to have a reprieve, he came into the body of a certain girl. And this girl was quoting these Lashonis verbatim, which definitely she had no shaychas to the Simla Chadosha, which is something that Shochtem should know. And Lemaisa, again, you have this punchline with the Indian of keeping Shabbos, that only those that keep Shabbos have a reprieve, but those that don't keep Shabbos do not. And then another interesting story was that at that time, the Baba Vareva was very ill. And they were calling a doctor from Kruka, from the big city, to come and check him out. And they said that maybe this doctor can also, you know, be metapel with this patient. So the Rebbe said, this doctor is an apikoros, and nothing is going to change. In other words, even if he's going to see what he's going to see, what we saw, he's not going to move because he won't believe it. In other words, as we said, that these are things that you need to want to believe. But the bottom line is that, as we said, sometimes they give us a window of an opportunity to be able to see what goes on in the Olam HaEmes. And the purpose of it is that we should be inspired and realize that there is more than what we see in this world. There is a next world, and there is a Olam HaEmes, and there is Schar Va'Oinish, and there is Izdin Ve'Izdayin, and the world is not Hefker, and, you know, there are consequences for things that we do. Now, what's interesting to point out is that all these things are before the day and age of videos and clips, right? And there are many things that we find throughout history that were a bit confusing because they didn't live in the digital age that we live in now. We've spoken about it many times in different opportunities about the inyan of Masoira on birds, because as we know, birds can only be eaten and throughout the ages you had many different shilas on many different types of chickens, I mean different other types of species that weren't clear whether there is a Masoira, there isn't a Masoira. The famous turkey, which many question how it sort of got into the Yiddish community that everyone eats it, even though there's a very big question what a Masoira is. But, you know, we don't question once, you know, once it came in, it stays in. So all these things was a very big controversy over the ages, throughout the ages, over many different things. So there's different types of chickens, which there was a very big machloikis. So what did they do? They had to send it to certain rabbonim. One of the rabbonim that was considered a very big expert in these things, a big authority, was the first chief rabbi of England, was Reb Noson Adler. He was considered an authority on these type of things. So they sent him a certain, it was called the cochin hen, a certain type of a chicken, that they sent him. Now, they write that by the time the chicken got here, it died, and it wasn't what it, you know, in other words, Today, what will we do? We will take a picture, send it. This is what we're talking about. And then you can't later, there's so many tshuvas that write that this is not what they meant, this is not what they saw, this is not what they sent. Because, you know, go start explaining what we're talking about. But today, you take a picture. This is, you know, Kazera Eve Kadesh. This is what we're talking about. Yes, no, and Giganga Vaitse. So the same with all these different type of things, right? Imagine if we would have a screen here where we can show the story of the Chofetz Chaim. I mean, we would probably be very inspired, right? Because, you know, we hear about it. The Rebbe Chonam Wasserman would say over the story with all the details every single year. And people were very inspired. People literally were very moved. Imagine, you know, someone seeing such a thing. You literally see, you know, as we would say, a regards from the next world. Now, in 1999, I think everyone in this room, right, is old enough to remember, almost everyone. So, Lamaisa, in 1999, there was a story in the city of Dimona. Dimona is in southern Eretz Yisrael. And also, the pattern is exactly the same. You have, this was a father that died. He was not a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And he came into his wife's body. And basically, all kinds of different things. You know, the description of what we see throughout the ages is exactly the same. A person talking, so when a person talks, there's certain features that happen. And here, it was totally different. It came out of the stomach. All kinds of different things, which again, there are clips available. You can look them up. You can find clips about that thing. So, what happened was that they went to the Gedoyla Sfardim, and I believe he may still be alive, Rav Batsri. You know, and you know, this is something that is Kabbalistic. In other words, the first ones to talk about it are the Mekubalim, because the whole Indian of Gilgulim and the Shamas, all these things, is more of a Kabbalistic thing. So they gathered in a certain shul in Yerushalayim, and they made a whole Seder. There were hundreds of people present, and they basically, you know, promised this Ruach that they're going to say Kaddish, learn Mishnayis, and it left this woman's body. Okay, so we would think, wow, we have here a beautiful story with proof, right? And there's videos you can look at, you can watch it, you can relive it, and what a Kiddush Hashem and what an inspiration to you know, to do tshuva. But anechtig and tug, as they say, you know, the newspapers, the Freie newspapers had a heyday with this whole story. And basically, they said, they even, you know, found proof that this woman was an actress like no one else, and she received 15,000 shekel by Yom Mahim, which is not so much, but, you know, maybe, you know, people that, you know, don't have much more than that. So, you know, she received a nice amount of money to put up the show. And that's what it was. Now, you can argue from today to tomorrow, back and forth, yes, no. But the point that I'm trying to make is that even something which is there, you can see it, you can watch it, but it's still not proof enough for someone that doesn't want to believe. Now, if we think that this is a one-off, as we say, there's a fascinating inyan, which we've spoken about in the past, about the certain oisois umoifsim that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam, that even with all the evidence, there still are people who choose not to believe and find reasons and terutzim on all the different things. Let's start with the Makkos. To us, the Makkos is the central, takes central stage on Pesach night. That is what gives us the encouragement and the chizuk that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, Lamanta Sacher Bevem Bincha, Baozne Bincha, Bevem Bincha, Is Asher Salalti Be Mitzrayim, Vesoy Soysa Shesamtibam. That is what the Makkos is all about. Ad Hayoim, and I'm saying literally Ad Hayoim, there are professors sitting in all kinds of universities that are wasting their headspace and their time in trying to explain a scientific reason for all the different markers. And Dam will give us an example. They have for everyone. Dam is, there was a story a few years ago about the Nile, that there's red mud, red sand around the area of the Nile. And when there's a flood, all the sand goes into the river. And what happens if the red sand goes into the river? It turns red. That is what Makas Dam was all about. And what happens if there's so much sand in the water? The fish die, right? And then the frogs come, and then so on and so forth. But again, these are professors, which today we see those professors, what they do with other things, right? With facts that are happening in the world, how they misconstrue the facts, and they see things totally opposite than what we see it. But the same thing, they take these things and they spend their time writing papers and writing articles, theses of why the 10 makas is natural. Kriyas Yamsuf. That's something which there is even in the Svarim that speak about it, that the Kriyas Yamsuf was basically, imagine taking a bowl of water and taking a fan with a strong wind that blows on the water. What would happen? The water would split. The Torah speaks about that the Rebbein Shteyn was Bayoylech Ruach Hazaka Kol HaLayla. So what happens? The water split. The Mon, right? The Mon is something that, you know, was a tremendous nes. There are many that say Nish Gesteugen, Nish Gefleugen. There is something called honeydew, which is white. And that was the Mon was all about. So again, and this is something that the Evan Ezra brings. And he says, he blasts, he brings a name, and he says, he's an Apikoros for saying that the Mon wasn't a Nes. But again, here you have three things that L'chaira should have definitely convinced us that this is a Nes. But if you want to believe, we have Ten Makas, we have Kriyas Yamsu, we have Mon. If you don't want to believe, then nothing is going to happen. So the point is that we need the Indian of being loyeg al divrei chachamim, as we started off with, has this thing that if you want to believe, there are ways how you can believe. But you still need to work on yourself to want to believe. And I'll just finish off with a fascinating Indian about the Indian of a dibuk that, you know, we saw so many different things about dibukim, but there's an Indian of dibuk which we deal with every single day. There's a fascinating Mogen Avrohom in Hilchas Birchas HaShachar who brings down why is it that we say every single day Shaloy Asani Goy, Shaloy Asani Oved. Why, you know, if we weren't created a Goy, then once in a lifetime we become Bar Mitzvah, we say Shaloy Asani Goy, and that's it. You know, once not a Goy, forever not a Goy, right? So the Mogen Avrohom brings down from the Mekubalim that Shebrochis halalu mevorchen al yitzias nishmos balayla shelo nidbak bo nishmas akumoy eved. A person can wake up in the morning and have a dibuk of a nishma of a goy, a nishma of a eved, and that's why we make a brocha shelo yasani goy, shelo yasani oved. The big question is, how does one know? Like, right, the book that we spoke about, you know, you see all kinds of funny things. But how does one know that this morning he didn't wake up with the neshama of a goy, neshama of a eved? So this is a very big discussion. But there is such a concept. I saw a very nice pshat. They bring down that in the nusach of Hamapil, right? So we say, shtashkevenu l'sholem, v'sein chelki v'soyr secha. Why does a person say v'sein chelki v'soyr secha when he's going to sleep? So avada, we know Daria Kodesh, Mog Avrohom brings down that when he slept, they were megala to him, a soydes ha-toyre. But a regular person goes to sleep, what's the same chalki v'soyr secha? The answer is because we're asking that we should wake up with the same neshama that we went to sleep with, that chas v'sholom, we shouldn't have a dibuk of a nishmas akum or a nishmas eved. So just to summarize, as we said, we need to work on our emunas chachomim. We need to work on giving kavod to chachamim, and even if we don't understand what they say sometimes, we still have to accept it, and chas v'shalom to be a malik, because even though, as we said, if someone is a Malik, he's not on the same level of the Oysa Ish, but it starts somewhere, right? If you start with a little bit here, a little bit there, and you know, as we said, first we make him Ois Chocham, and then we're Malik, you know, we don't know where that can lead. So, you know, the safer way is always, you know, yes, I'm a Chocham, but, you know, there are Chocham and there are bigger than me. I may not understand everything. Okay, so I don't understand, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And as we explained, that if someone wants, there are many different ways of how we have access and we have an insight, a window, to be able to see how, you know, there's Izdain, Izdin, Izdain, and there's Emes, to all these things that we learn about. And that should be able to inspire us, Be'ezus Hashem, to be able to serve the Ribbono Shelolam like we should. And in that schos will be zoicha to all the brachos of the Torah.
Hadadas Yisrael congregation in conjunction with Start Your Day of the Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Koftal and Kislev, 25th of December, Rabbi David Konig Shlita, the Brochel and Sing Ner Chanukah.
Good morning. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Chia Barashi, Omar Rav, Hamadlik Ner Chanukah Tzorich Levorich. Someone who's Madlik, who lights the menorah, has to make a brocha. And Rabbi Yomio says someone who sees the Ner Chanukah has to make a bracha. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon Haroya Mevarach Shtayim, someone who sees, and we're going to see what that means, he sees the menorah, he makes two brachas, She'osa Nisim and Shecha Yonu, V'amadlik Gimel, and the person who lights the menorah, he makes on the Hadlokah as well. So, there's a famous machloikus, someone who sees the menorah. The Rambam writes the following. It says, V'chol ha-roya oiso v'loi birich, everyone who sees the menorah and didn't make a bracha of on hadloka, mevorech shtayim, she'oso nisim v'yashecha yonu. So the Rambam writes that someone who, v'chol ha-roya, everyone who sees the menorah, and didn't make a bracha lahadlik ner Chanukah, in other words, he didn't actually make himself the bracha, then he has to make two brachas, she'osa nisim and she'echa yonu. And the Magid Mishnah says on the Rambam, what does the Rambam say? It's v'chol ha-roya, everyone who sees. So he says like this. He says, sometimes you'll find that a person is not at home, he's overseas or wherever he is, and he can't light the menorah, but his wife lit the menorah for him, in his house, and made adlokas neiros, etc. But nevertheless, if he sees a menorah, then he should make the bracha she'osa nisim and she'echa yonu, even though his wife had lit for him. But nevertheless, when he sees the menorah, because that's what the Rambam says, it says v'chol haroya, everyone who sees, even someone whose wife lit for him, as long as he himself didn't light the menorah, he should say a bracha, she'osa nisim l'avoseinu, when he sees a menorah. And the Rashba says, no, how can that be? He was already yotz the mitzvah. His wife was yotz the mitzvah for him. So how can it be that when he sees a menorah, he says, she'osa nisim l'avoseinu? So I want to say two pshatim, it's not from me, it's actually someone called Rav Turchin, it was a Talmud from the Briskarov. And he says two different pshatim in how to explain this machlokas, whether if someone, one's wife lit the menorah for you, nevertheless, when you see the menorah, the Rambam writes you should make a bracha, and the Rashba says you don't. And I think we'll start off with the following. This bracha, she'osa nisim l'avoseinu, A person makes a bracha, sha'osan nisim labasenu, as we're going to say tonight, Be'ez Hashem. What type of bracha is it? So there's a fascinating machlokas. Some hold the bracha sha'osan nisim labasenu is a bracha birchas ha-mitzvah. It's a bracha on the hadlokah. Just like one makes a bracha lahadik ne'eshah Chanukah, one makes a bracha sha'osan nisim labasenu on the lighting of the menorah. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is no. Sha'osa nisim lavisenu really has no connection with the hadlokah. It's a bracha on the fact that a nes happened on Chanukah. A nes happened on Chanukah, and we say the bracha sha'osa nisim lavisenu in order to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that nes. The Chachamim were masakin, they instituted, when should you make that bracha? You should make that bracha b'shas the hadlokah. But really, it's not no sheiches to the hadlokah. It's not a birchas ha-mitzvah, it's a bracha on the day. She'osa nisim la'viseinu. And we find a machlokes rishonim as to what this bracha is. There's a Tosfos in Sukkah. Tosfos asks the following question. It says, B'sha'a mitzvahs k'goin lulav v'sukkah lo'y tiknu l'vorech l'roya ele gabin chaya Chanukah. Tosfos had a tad to say. He had to have a minute to say that when a person sees a lulav or a person sees a sukkah, they should also make this bracha. They saw it. L'chura, if this bracha of sha'osa nisim is not a birchas ha-mitzvah, but rather a bracha on the nes, then how can Tosfos have a minute to say that one should make a bracha on seeing a lulav? It's got no shaykhus to a nes then. If it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, in other words, if it's part and parcel of the bits of mitzvah lokas neiros, maybe we can understand that one should make it on a, when one sees a lulav, a different bracha, but when it sees a lulav, one should make a bracha, or one sees a sukkah, one should make a bracha. But if it's stam on the day, then Lechura's got no shaykhus. So Lechura's mavur in Tosfos, that Tosfos held that sha'osa nisim la'voseinu, the bracha is a birchas ha-mitzvah. Ma she'enke, the loshon of the she'iltas, which is brought down, says mefurish, he says like this, v'chad matzya yuma, the israchshu nisa, when a day came, and the nisim happened to Klal Yisrael, kego in Chanukah or Purim, mechayev levruchei baruch ha-sha'osa nisim la'voseinu. Then one is obligated to make a bracha of ha'sha'osa nisim la'voseinu. So lechor is mavur in this she'iltas that the bracha of sha'osa nisim la'voseinu is not a bracha on the birchas ha-mitzvah, but is rather a bracha on the day. A nes happened on Chanukah, and therefore we make a bracha sha'osa nisim la'voseinu. Says Rav Torchin, with this machlekes of what sha'osa nisim la'voseinu is, maybe we can understand the machlekes, the Rambam, and the Rashba. The Rambam held that the Osa Nisim Laviseinu is not a Milchus HaMitzvah Bichlal. It's a bracha on the Nes. And therefore, when you, even though your wife was Madlik Neirus, true, you were Yotze Hadlaka, because your wife was Madlik Neirus for you. But nevertheless, you didn't make Sha'osa Nisim. And when you see a menorah and you see the Pirsum Hanes, you should make that bracha sha'osa nisim la'voseinu. In other words, the Rashba held, no, the birchas ha sha'osa nisim is a birchas ha-mitzvah, which is therefore said when you did the mitzvah adloka. So here, your wife lit the menorah, you were yotze the mitzvah by your wife lighting the menorah, therefore, she said sha'osa nisim, you were already yotze the bracha, so therefore there's no reason to say it, even if you see the menorah. However, the Rambam holds, no. Yes, you were yotze the mitzvah hadlaka, but you didn't say sha'osa nisim. And therefore, when you see a menorah, you should make a bracha sha'osa nisim la'viseinu, even though you were lit the menorah, you were yotze the mitzvah hadlaka. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is the following. There's a famous, an actual more than that, just to continue, with this we could also answer something else. There's a big shayla which the Achronim ask. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Hilchasot Sukkah v'achar kach zman. One should make first the bracha on the Sukkah, and then Shechayonu. And he says, however, the Masechta Sofrim asks on the Sheiltas, because he says, no, first you make Shechayonu, and then you make Sha'asa Nisim. Not what we do. We first make Sha'asa Nisim, and we make Shechayonu at the end. But the Sheiltas says, no, first make Shechayonu, and then Sha'asa Nisim. So that's a contradiction. On the one side, we see that by Sukkah and other things, we always make Shechayonu after the mitzvah. And here, we're saying, we should make Shechayonu and then Sha'asa Nisim. So I was thinking, way we can understand, if we say Sha'asa Nisim, it's got no shaykhus with the mitzvah adloko, but rather, it's just the fact that you're Chachome instituted that then you should say it, then we can understand maybe that we'll first make adloko, then Shechayonu, and then Sha'asa Nisim. If you understand that it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, it's on the adloka, then you're right. You should say it before Shechayonu, because it's on the adloka. But if you hold it's not on the adloka really, it's a separate bracha, which has got no shaychas with the adloka. Just when should we say it, because we'll forget to say it later, etc., etc. Then we can understand why we'll say Shechayonu first, and then Sha'asa Nisim afterwards. That's one way of understanding. So in other words, the question is, what is Sha'asa Nisim? What bracha is it? Is it a birchas ha-mitzvah or is it a bracha on the actual day? Another way, just briefly, there's a famous modcha. The modcha writes, it says like this, Yesh oimim, the Shulchan Aruch brings, Sha'af pi shemadlikin lov b'teich beisoy, imu b'mokim she'em ba yisrael madlik b'brochas, ki chayev lirois es haneiros. The Modcha writes, and this is a Modcha which writes this, that there's an inyan, besides for lighting the menorah, but there's an inyan to actually see the neiros. The chayev liros es haneiros, right? Why? Because what's the inyan of, so when a person's madlik the neiros, so automatically he sees the neiros. But what's the inyan of Chanukah is to be mefarsim the nes, to publicize the nes. And therefore one is specifically also supposed to see the Neiros. So therefore, maybe to feed this Modcha, we can also understand. The Rambam held as an inyan to see the Neiros, besides for being Yotze Yohadloka, so a person who actually is Madlik, so he obviously sees the Neiros. But if a person is not Madlik the Neiros, even though he was Yotze Yohadloka, but there's a specific, special inyan Tosefes, an added inyan, then one should also see the Neiros. And therefore one can say Sha'asa Nisim when one sees the Neiros. However, the Rashba doesn't hold of this extra union of seeing the Neiros, and therefore held that a person doesn't make a bracha as long as he's already been Yotze that Loka. There's no union when he sees the Neiros to be make a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Now I'd like to speak about something else. We know something interesting. Chanukah is called Chanukah, that we know. But where do we find Chanukah? So Chanukah we find Chanukah Sabayis. First of all, it started Chanukah Samizbeach. When we want to be mechanech something is new, then it's a loshen of mechanech, and you mechanech the Mizbeach, and that's also the makor of today when we make a Chanukah Sabayis. When a person buys a house or moves into a house, then it's new by him. There's his chachas. And therefore one makes a Chanukah Sabayis. So it's a Loshen of Hischachus. What is this Loshen of Hischachus, which is intertwined with Chanukah? And I'd like to give the following answer. We know, the Gemara tells us, that Yevonim, or Chazal, the Yevonim wanted to uproot three mitzvahs. They wanted to uproot three mitzvahs. Shabbos, Milah, and Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, Mila, we can understand, that's an ois, a bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is also a bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally comes to our house on Shabbos. In fact, I once heard, I'm sure you've all heard, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, he asked the following question. He asked, why don't we know on Shabbos, we're not supposed to daven for our tzrochim, for the things which we need, only during the week. Shabbos, there's no zecher, there's no remembrance that we daven for our needs. Why not? So he gave the following moshel. He says there was once a mashulach who was very successful. And they asked the mashulach, asked this person who used to collect money, how are you so successful? So he said, I'll tell you what I do. When I first meet a rich man, I don't ask him for money. I first connect with him. I first find out if he's got some mishpoch, which I know. And basically, after a few times, we become friends. And now that we're friends, I can ask him for money, because he's my friend. Says of Shimshon Pinchas, that's exactly the same nekuda. On Shabbos, you know why we don't ask for our tzrochim? Because Shabbos is a time when we befriend Hashem, kiviyochol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Shalom Aleichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you. We're befriending the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore it's not a time to ask for our tzrochim. During the week we can ask for our tzrochim. But Shabbos is a time when we befriend Hashem, and therefore we don't ask for our needs. So Shabbos, again, we can understand, as we said, it's a time when we have, it's a ois between us, it's a connection between us and Hashem, and therefore we can understand why the Yevonim wanted to uproot it. But the question is, what was so special about Kiddush HaChodesh that the Yevonim wanted to uproot that mitzvah? And of course, in order to understand that, what was Kiddush HaChodesh? When Kiddush HaChodesh, what do we know about Kiddush HaChodesh? Kiddush HaChodesh was the first mitzvah, even before they came out of Mitzrayim, which Klal Yisrael were given. And anything which is the first, is obvious that there's a reason why it was given the first, and it tells us how to do the other mitzvahs. Hayoi, since, in other words, it was given to us as the first mitzvah, presumably it would show us the way for the other mitzvahs. How is that? The answer is the following. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, it wasn't just that we should be totally b'nei chorin, totally free people. The Pasuk tells us he took us out of Mitzrayim in order for us to be avdei Hashem. Before, kevayochel, we were avodim of Paroi. And now, he took us out of Mitzrayim, ultimately to be mekabel the Torah, and to become an eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously, besides the difference between the avdus of Paroi and the avdus of Hashem, not only in Hashem versus Paroi, but also in what is the avdus? Paroi, the avdus was that we should be totally, be the more vigorously we had to work, the more Paroi, that's what Paroi wanted. Paroi wanted us to be totally underneath him and to have a terrible time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other side of the coin, the best way, of course, we know that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's true. But ultimately, what's the best way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As we know, the Torah tells us, after we say Shema Yisrael, it says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. The best way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through Yira. Yira is one darga. But the best way is by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Ava. How do we come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we love something? Bichlau. So the answer is that in Kriya Shema itself says the answer. It says, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayoyim, that when we do the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us today, and we're saying that today, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us today. Says Chazal, that it means that a person, when he fulfills mitzvahs, he should do it as if it's the first time, as if he's doing it for the first time. We all know that when we put on tefillin, when a person came by mitzvah, he did it with a tremendous excitement. And so too every mitzvah which a person does, when a person does it for the first time, he does it with a tremendous hislavus and a tremendous excitement. The truth is that that's the way, in other words, the Kriya Shema is telling us, how do we do love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we do mitzvahs out of Avo? Is if we're excited with it. Asher Anoichi Mitzavecha Hayoim, if you do the mitzvah as if you did it for the first time. In other words, that's the way to serve Hashem with Avo, is Besimcha. Besimcha is how, if a person, as we know, if a person gets a new car, if a person buys a new house, he's excited. If a person, again, the same thing, if a person is excited, then he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. If we understand that, Kiddush HaKadosh, without going into the depth, of course, there's Kiddush HaKadosh, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaKadosh, the Ribbono Shel Olam brings out a Levono every month. And one of the reasons is to show us that a person should have, can have, a new hischadshus in his Avodas Hashem every month. The Gemara actually says that, the Gemara Rav Tzadik brings down that one of the reasons is that it's like the Gemara, Rav Tzadik explains, it's like when a man is also to his wife. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it like that? Because then he has a tremendous, his slavers, if he would be constantly with his wife, he wouldn't have that same slavers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in the world, this made this, with the man and wife, made a nidah also in order that he should have his slavers and simcha with his wife. And the same is true, Kiddush HaKadosh has this essence, to show us that we have a new Avodas Hashem. Every month, a person can renew his Avodas Hashem. So in other words, the special nekuda, the special point about Kiddush HaKadosh is actually the fact that it shows us how to fulfill a mitzvah. And that's why it was given the first. Because the best way to do mitzvahs is by besimcha, beislavus, and beischachus. When something is new, right? Something is new, that's when you have simcha. And that's what Kiddush HaKadosh, that's why it shows you. I think if we understand that, then we can understand why we call Chanukah Chanukah. The main fight, as we know, of the Yevonim was the fact, what did they taina? Their taina was that learning Gemara is old. It's for the old generation. It's not something new. Today we have technology. We have sports. That's something which is exciting. Learning Torah is for the old Torah. That's not for us. Doesn't get everyone excited. That was the whole Yesod of the Yevonim, which they wanted to prove to Klal Yisrael, and which they wanted to therefore make us go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we say the opposite. Chanukah is called Chanukah because Beloshen Hischadshus. We're telling the Yevonim, no, it's not true. When we do mitzvahs, and when we learn Torah, we do it with Hischadshus. We do it with a Gishmak. We do it with Islavas. It's not something which is just for the old generation. It's for today. Because when we serve Hashem, we want to make it with Hischadshus, Besimcha, with Avo. And that's why we call Chanukah Chanukah. In other words, that the Yevonim wanted to uproot Kiddush HaKadosh and all the other, and Shabbos and Mila, and Be'ikah Kiddush HaKadosh for that point, that they wanted to show us that no, it's sport, technology, that's the Ikah. But we call Chanukah Chanukah because Adrabo, we're showing the Yevonim that we have Hischadshus. Just to end off, the Gemara says, I want to, it could even be that the previous Rabbi Roberts, I'm not sure if he said this, but I definitely saw it from someone, that the Gemara tells us, just to end off one point, Harogel b'ner, havabonim tamid chachomim. Someone who is Rogel b'ner, it says an interesting lashon of Rogel, someone who does the other things the Gemara says, Zohir, be careful, but lighting the menorah, it says, Harogel b'ner, someone who's accustomed and lights the menorah with properly, will have children, Tamidei Chachamim. Now, most people like Menorah, but a lot of people don't have children, Tamidei Chachamim. So what does exactly this mean? I once heard a rot, I'm not sure if it's MS or not, but it's a vetel, as they say. It says like this. Then Yeshua asks a famous question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to make a Nes Chanukah with a Pach Shemen? Tumah Hutra B'Tzibul. There's halacha that if something is Tomei, but it's needed for the Tzibul, then it's Mutter. So really, we didn't need the whole Nes. Says the Pnei Yeshua that that's true. But since you're being Mechanech, the Mizbeach, with Shemen, that has to be Bigdusha, that has to be Betara. When you're Mechanech something, even though maybe there's a halacha of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibul, but when you're Mechanech something, that's a different point. And therefore, I think Pshat is like this. With this Pnei Yeshua, you can understand. The Gemara doesn't mean simply Harogil b'nei Chanukah Havabonim Talmidei Chachamim. Doesn't simply mean the lighting of the menorah. Yeah, lighting menorah, okay. Harogil b'nei Chanukah means someone who takes the lesson of Chanukah. What does that mean? As we said, why in the Beis Hamikdash, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a nest of Pach Shemen? The answer is because chinuch has to be bigdusha betara. There can't any psharas. You can't have tuma. The halacha of tuma betzibul is a very nice halacha, but not when it comes to chinuch. Mimela, if harogu b'nei Chanukah doesn't mean it means someone who takes the lesson of Chanukah, i.e., he's mechanech his children bigdusha betara without all the psharas and without etc., then he will have bonim Talmidei Chachamim. That's maybe what the Gemara means. Not the literal lighting menorah. If a person does that, then he will have bonim Talmidei Chachamim. And just to add on, we mentioned the Pach Shemen. Just to finish off, the Gemara doesn't mention that Ikar Nes was the fact that they were saved, but the Gemara actually brings down the Nes of Pach Shemen. And the Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara talk about Pach Shemen? Talk about the main nest, the fact that we were saved. So Chaim Shmulevitz, just to finish off, says something beautiful. He says that the fact that we were saved for sure was the main nest. Giborim Yad Chaloshim, Rabim Mag Ma'atim, it's all true. But says of Chaim Shmulevitz, that was Muchrach. That nest had to happen. If it wouldn't have happened, then we wouldn't be here today. But the Nes of Pach Shemen didn't have to happen. That was an extra thing which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing his love. It's called the Neshikas Hashem. He said, we're saying we find with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, the Pasuk says that when they came to sell him, it was nice scents. Smelt nicely. They didn't come with their normally things which don't smell nicely. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what's the difference to Yosef HaTzadik? Can you imagine? He was going down to prison. He was going down to Mitzrayim. He was going to become an Eved. What's the difference to him that there should be nice smelling scents when he's in a terrible predicament here? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes shows us when he gives a nest which doesn't have to happen. Then he's giving us neshika. He's giving us a kiss. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Yosef HaTzadik, yes, you're going down to Mitzrayim, but don't worry, I'm still with you. I am with you all the way. And that's the nekud of the Pach Shemen as well. The Nes Chanukah, the fact that we were saved, true, all true. But that was Muchrach. But the Pach Shemen was a neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should all have a Freilich in Chanukah. Thank you.
So would it make any Tuscan if a man's wife has licked him at home and he's
seen him there, right?
Yeah.
So Ronnie, I'll bring down the bring down here.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Won't work out.
I saw you struggling with it.
I tried it. It kept cutting out the whole time. Yeah. So a little bit, if it comes out a little bit, then about three quarters of the way through, it started working. But I wasn't going to. Yeah, it's all in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you said. I just have an idea.